We'll start looking at this passage together. Let's pray. Our dear, gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you again for the privilege to be able to open your word tonight and even to look into the life here of King Josiah, God, as you've recorded in scriptures for our learning, for our admonition. We pray, God, again, as we seek to just glean truths from his life, that we too here as believers could understand and know these truths and grow in them ourselves. We thank you again for the opportunity to be here, for those that have come, those that are on Zoom, God, those that maybe couldn't come tonight. We pray for anyone who's in difficulties or hardships and trials, undertake with them as well. We just thank you again for this evening. I pray, God, again for your word to be clear, accurate, practical, and simple tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm sure you're all well aware of this, but in case you have missed it, you haven't seen, America as a nation, I think, is becoming more and more ungodly. And again, you can watch the news, you can read things. It seems to be all over the place. But according to one website I found, they said this quote, "Ongoing research from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University paints a bleak picture of the nation's radically shifting moral landscape, with Americans no longer clinging to biblical truths for moral guidance and increasingly rejecting the traditional values that have defined us as a nation, really, since our founding." Here are some statistics that they found. They found that the latest research from the American Worldview Inventory in 2020 finds that at least one-third of Americans, or less than one-third of Americans, adults actually rely on their religious faith when making moral decisions. Well, what else do people rely on when making moral decisions? Well, 30% actually just rely on other people. What are other people thinking when it comes to making moral choices? And then another third, about 31%, say they rely on their own personal beliefs and their standard of right and wrong. And it's just amazing that it seems like that's growing more and more as we think of America and our culture today and redefining what is right and what is wrong. I don't know about you, but sometimes you kind of look at the culture today and you're like, oh, I wish I would have lived at a different period of time in history. Maybe when they did cling to more morals and values. I sometimes think that when I'm thinking about the world we live in. Or maybe you're just thinking, wow, America is getting so bad, we must be getting close to the rapture. I can't wait to get out of here. Maybe that's your thinking. But what if God puts you in this particular period of history, at this particular time, and he wants to actually use you for such a time as this? Now, that reminds me of Esther 4:14. We're not studying the book of Esther or Queen Esther here tonight, but this is just such a great quote. When Esther was coming to a crossroads in her life, when there was going to be some evil done to her people during her time, and what should she do? What were her options? Well, her cousin here, Mordecai, said, "Well, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, again, I do truly believe that we in America are on a downward society morally, and it seems to be declining even at a faster and faster rate. Even in the last 20 years or so, I have definitely seen many more biblical morals get questioned, and even now ridiculed as being antiquated, narrow-minded, or even worse, they're hateful or intolerant. So how are we as believers to think, or better yet, how are we to act while living in this type of society? So tonight, I want to look at an example, again, not from Queen Esther, but instead from a young man who grew up also in a very immoral society. And not only was a society acting contrary to God's word, we will see that even his own father and grandfather were also part of the problem. Not only that, but he had also heard that some of the beliefs were being talked about in their day, that God was soon going to judge the nation. So he could have just kept his mouth shut and quietly waited for the Lord to rid the earth of all evil. But as we'll see tonight, this is not what he decided to do. Now, this young man was one of the very few good kings in Israel and was arguably the most godly in all of Israel's history. So ready, if you haven't guessed it yet, or I already haven't said it, or cheated by looking ahead at your handouts, we're going to be talking about the life of King Josiah. King Josiah. How many of you have actually heard anything about King Josiah before? You've heard about him? Yeah, a lot of you have heard that he's the boy who became king, right? But I think it's good to know about these biblical characters, but really our lesson isn't done until you really take examples from their life and then you apply it to your own. I think this is partly why God allows us to look into their lives, and he uses these for us, for our learning. In fact, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, after describing what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness, he says this in 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things became what? Our examples. And then in verse 11 he says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written. Why? For our admonition. And of course we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it's able to transform us. And I think, again, as we look at these lives in the Bible, it's not just so we can say, wow, that was cool, or wow, that wasn't cool at all. It's so that we can get a glimpse, and we really look at it, and we can see ourselves in the story and see how God would have us to act or not act in some of these examples. So again, for tonight, from Josiah's life, let's see not only who he was, but how could he be an example for us here still today? So if we are with me in 2 Kings chapter 22, let's just read the first two verses. 2 Kings 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, of the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of his father David. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now what's amazing here, just in these first two verses, we see a lot of details about what's going on here and who our main character is here in the story. But I want to just start by tonight focusing on who Josiah is, and focusing on just like these verses did, on his childhood. We see here that his mother and his grandmother are right away mentioned by name, as well as his father. But what's interesting is that it says he walked in all the ways of his father, who? David. Well, Joe, I thought you said we were going to learn about a guy here, Josiah, who didn't necessarily want to follow in his dad's footsteps because he had done evil. Now, this is interesting because actually, if you turn back to 2 Kings 21 with me, 2 Kings 21, and just look at, Josiah's dad here in verse 19, 2 Kings 21, 19. Ammon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was, a big word there, the daughter of Harzah of Jotbah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his father had served and worshipped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Ammon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son who? Josiah, king in his place. So we see here that his father's name was actually Ammon, not David. So why would it say in 2 Kings 22 that Josiah followed in the steps of his father, King David? Well, obviously, because he was in the line of King David. He was his great, great, great. Actually, and if you look, Josiah was the follower of David, who is his great, 15 times grandfather. Great, 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 up to 15 times grandfather. So he was a descendant of David. In fact, this chart's going to be really small for you in the back especially, but I tried to blow it up. The chart on the right is all the kings in Israel, and as just a quick review, remember that the king started with Saul. It was a united kingdom when they set up King Saul, and then it was David, and then his son Solomon, and then the kingdom split. And that's why there's two columns there. On the left-hand side, you have the southern kingdom of Judah and the kings of that. And then on the right, you have the kings in the north in Israel. And as you can see, the colors there at least, green means a good king, did what was right in God's eyes. Pink is evil. And then yellow was, well, some good and some evil. Again, there was almost no good kings in Israel on the right. And in Judah, what's amazing when you look at this chart, and then I blew it up, Josiah is actually down here, which is now blown up over on this side. But now you see what happened here is that his grandfather Manasseh did evil, his dad Amon did evil, but Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. You see, he didn't follow in his immediate father's footsteps, but he went all the way back up to David, who did right in the Lord's eyes. So what type of culture was Josiah living in? Well, it's amazing when you do a little bit of research on this culture. You know, we think, a lot of times when you talk to people today, they're like, oh, this is just terrible. America is just terrible. What's going on here in this society? But when you read some of the accounts of what was going on in this day, in Josiah's day as ours, there was widespread lack of understanding of God's word. In fact, when a copy of the law was found and discovered in the temple and read to the king, we get the distinct impression that King Josiah never had seen it before or heard of it before before this. So although many people have access to a Bible today in our society, I think many people are not reading it or following it. But not only that, but the people in Josiah's culture, they were claiming to be followers of Jehovah, yet they had incorporated all sorts of worldly practices into their worship, including idolatry, sexual immorality, and even child sacrifice. In fact, if we had time, we could look at Manasseh, his grandfather, Josiah's grandfather. He made his sons pass through the fire. So again, that was just part of their just immoral culture that they were living in. It was just a terrible culture where they were sacrificing to foreign gods, and even their own children they were making pass through the fire. So again, what kind of society did Josiah live in? I would say in some ways, many ways, it was worse than our society even here today. So what can we learn from this? What I like about this is anyone can be a chain breaker. Whether your parents were a good example or a bad example, you actually get to make the decision on who you will follow. Anyone can be a chain breaker. Just because your mom or dad don't serve the Lord doesn't mean that you can't. Again, look at Josiah. He was a chain breaker. His father, his grandfather did evil in the sight of the Lord, yet Josiah chose to do what's right. In fact, when you look at a lot of the kings, notice that what happens is that you sometimes get a chain breaker in there. And the sad thing about even Josiah tonight, as we'll see, one of the most godly kings, none of his sons served the Lord. None of them, even though Josiah did what was right in the sight of the sight of the Lord. Again, so we have the opportunity to be a chain breaker. Again, if you didn't grow up in a Christian home, you still have a choice. You can decide to serve the Lord. You know, the opposite is also true. You know, kids here, just because your parents are Christians and do God's will doesn't mean you will in your life. Kids, you also have the opportunity to make a decision for yourselves on who will you serve. Again, the kings, and when you look at Josiah's kids, Josiah's kids, most of them did not do well, didn't serve the Lord. In fact, when you look at that chart, most of the good kings were not followed by another good king. Once in a while, you might have two in a row, but other than that, they would return to doing what is evil. So anyone can be a chain breaker. Secondly, who are you following is another application question for us. Josiah decided not to follow his earthly father Ammon, but his great-great-grandfather David. He was a follower of him and someone who was doing right in the sight of the Lord. But before you can be a follower ultimately of the Lord and doing what is right, you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So the question I have for you tonight is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And again, do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And this is the message that we've been giving out at the fairs. And by the grace of God, maybe you're talking to other people about it, because the Bible is clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is the biggest thing to impress upon people, is that you have a need, that you are not good enough to work your way to heaven. In fact, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. The bad news in the Bible is that your sins have separated you from your God, and there's this barrier of sins. Now, most religious people will come in and tell you that, well, I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized, I go to church, I've been obeying the Ten Commandments as the best I can, I've gone through the sacraments, or whatever good works they're trying to do. Remember, all religion is people trying to work their way to God and appease God, but that the Bible says you'll never get to heaven on those terms. In fact, the gospel is the exact opposite. It's not what you can do for God, or for God, but what he has done for you. In fact, God so loved the world. And how much did he love you? That he sent his only begotten son, his one and only son, to die on the cross for our sins. That he paid the penalty. You see, the proper direction of the gospel is always from God to us. It's a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave, it's a gift, his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And once you finally give up on yourself and receive the gift of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, the Bible says now you can come to God. And it's through simple faith alone. You now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're born again. You're saved are the terms used in the Bible. So if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, now the Bible says you can be a follower of him. In fact, in Philippians 2:15, we read that as believers, we can be blameless and pure children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine as lights in the world. And I like this verse because it reminds us that, you know, really every generation since Christ came has been a perverse and wicked generation. In fact, since the beginning of history, right, there's been these overall pagan societies, there's been these godless societies, and there's been these societies that are on a downward trend. And it seems like God is always looking for someone to stand in the gap. And God wants to use you, that you're a child of God and you're to shine as lights. But God doesn't only want to use adults here tonight. As we look back at 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1, we read that Josiah was only how old? He was only 8 years old when he became king. Now, I picked King Josiah when I taught at the men's camping trip because I thought, well, this would be a great story of a young boy who became king at only 8 years old. In fact, I asked out in the audience if anybody was 8 years old at the men's camping trip, and Henry was there, and he raised his hand. Jeff's like, no, he's only 7. And I'm like, all right, let's pretend that Henry's in charge. And what if Henry became the president of the United States of America, and he's just kind of like, I don't know. And of course, I got the snickering comments like, well, it couldn't be much worse than the guy that's running the office now. I was like, okay, you're right. Maybe an 8-year-old could become president. I don't know. But it's amazing that this story is about an 8-year-old who became king. And obviously, he probably had some good advisors and worked with him. And it says here, it names his mother and his grandmother. So maybe they were also a godly influence on his life. We don't know for sure. But still, what the point here is, the application is for us that, again, you don't have to wait till you're an adult for God to use you. God can and wants to use you, whether you're 8 years old here tonight or 88. It doesn't matter. If you're saved, God wants to and can use you for his glory. You know, many of us know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 here, that it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But how many of you know verse 10? Does anybody know what Ephesians 2, 10 says? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? For a purpose, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God has a plan for your life, and God wants to use you. God wants to use you as a believer in a light in a dark place. So Josiah shows us the influence even a person can have from a very young age. Children have an enormous potential to live for God and to have a great impact. You know, I think sometimes it's even more socially acceptable for a child to give somebody the gospel than an adult. Like I always tell our kids, when we go see grandma and grandpa, you talk to them about Jesus, because it just seems like they can get away with that more than maybe me, and they might listen. So we've seen who Josiah was. He was a boy who became king at only 8 years old. But what else is he well known for? Well, look again at 2 Kings 22. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. We also see in chapter 23, I believe it is, verse 25, another characteristic about Josiah. This is what the Lord said. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, with which his anger was aroused against Judah, because of all the... No, it's... Sorry, wrong verse. Where is it? 22... Is it 22? 2 Kings 22. 19. Look at that verse. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. You tore your clothes and you wept before me. I have also heard you, says the Lord. Again, he had a tender and humble heart. So Josiah was a young man who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And again, what was his standard of right and wrong? Remember our survey earlier? We took only about a third of the people in the United States believe that the Word of God is the standard of right and wrong. Where else do people see what the standard? It's in what other people say, or it's in what they think is right or wrong. It's in their own eyes. I was actually talking to Leighton last night about Adam and Eve and what happened. Why did Adam and Eve sin? And what ultimately was Eve's sin? Well, God said, don't eat the fruit or you will die. He told her what would happen, and then what? What did she do? She looked at the fruit and thought, looks good, right? It didn't look bad. So the question was she going to operate by her sight, or was she going to believe God and what he said, that if you eat this, you will die, that you will be separated from God forever? And ultimately, we know what happened. She decided not to trust the Lord, and she walked by her own sight. And that's really ultimately a lot of what's going on today. Like I said, people are choosing to do what's right in their own eyes. But Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So what is the application for us? We, again, need to seek to do what's right in God's eyes, right? Children especially, but adults here, we're growing up in a society where, again, they're questioning everything. Is that really right? Is that really wrong? Can we do this? Can we not? Again, just because other people are doing it and their parents don't care, are we okay with not doing that? Are you supposed to obey your friends if they tell you to do something, kids? Or are you supposed to obey your parents? Again, what does Ephesians 6, 1 tell us? Anybody know that verse? Edison, do you know what Ephesians 6, 1 says? What does it say? For this is right. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is what's right. Again, dads, moms, adults here, how about us? Are we being influenced by the culture around us to believe something is okay or even good when, according to God's word, It is not. We, again, need to seek to do what is right in God's eyes. In fact, I really like Psalm 19:14. I believe I've shared this before. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, we need to be seeking to do what's right in God's eyes. Not only that, but when we look at Josiah's life, we see another characteristic in 2 Kings 22:2, where it says that he walked in all the ways of his father's David, and he did not turn to the right hand nor to the left. He didn't turn aside. And this is pretty amazing because, again, like I said, when you looked at some of the other kings, even King Solomon, one of the wisest kings, he started off good, but what happened? Veered off the path, right? When he got older, his wives turned his heart, it says. And so he veered off the path. Even David, from time to time, he veered off. He'd come back, but he veered off, and he made a lot of mistakes. Josiah, really nothing negative is said about King Josiah. And it says here, in fact, that he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. He only did what was right according to God, but he didn't turn aside. Now, what this doesn't mean is that he was perfect. We know that. Nobody is perfect. But ultimately, in his life, it was characterized by making by faith decision. Unlike, again, some of the other kings who started off well and ended poorly. We read that Josiah started right and then ended right in his life. So what's the application for us? Again, regardless of our background, we should seek to follow the Lord each day going forward. Even if you made mistakes in your past, today is a new day. Who will you serve today? Secondly, we need to never get prideful and get our eyes on the Lord. We need to never get prideful and to get our eyes off the Lord. We need to not turn from him. In other words, it doesn't sound right there. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, because we all have to remember this, that and any time we're capable, like Pastor says, of any sin in the catalog of sins. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So we need to keep short accounts with the Lord. We need to be walking daily by the Spirit, praying, confessing our sins, and walking by faith. We need to take short accounts. So again, we see now just this quick summary of Josiah's life. 8 years old, he became king, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But let's read now about this one big moment that changed King Josiah's life. And we see this about finding the book in 2 Kings 22, and we'll read verses 3 to 11 here. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azalah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those who are doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damage of the house. The carpenters, two carpenters and builders and masons, and buy the timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the word of the book of the law, what did he do? He tore his clothes. He tore his clothes. Now I don't know about you guys here tonight, as we're reading God's word, does it make you want to tear your clothes? Getting a little warm in here Got to rip this off. So why did he do this? Why would he have torn his clothes when he heard the word of the Lord? Does anybody know? What do you think, Audrey? Yeah, this was a shock to him. You know, tearing your clothes in ancient Israel was one of those things that they did when they experienced extreme mourning or grief. So he was obviously grieved, like, this is God's word? And it says, do not worship idols? And, oh my goodness, we're worshiping idols. It was like just blown his mind. Like, again, that's why I think during this time, the word of God wasn't well known. And this was a complete shock to Josiah, even though he had, and this wasn't until the 18th year of his reign. So this was 10 years in. And so he had been operating by what he had known to be right, maybe some oral traditions passed down, but he didn't know what the law said. And they were still worshiping idols and still sacrificing to foreign idols and doing these things that he probably didn't even think was wrong. And again, it's just amazing here, the reaction that Josiah had. Because in fact, when you think about him being the king, right? He's been in it for a long time. It's kind of like in your job. You're doing your job. Let's say Todd's been in his job for a few years now. And he's been doing a pretty good job, he thinks. His boss maybe even tells him. And then one day, now Todd's in charge of environmental health, right? And all of a sudden, one day after working at Honeywell for 10 years, an inspector comes in and says, hey, you know, these readings look to be a little bit off there, Mr. Perry. Oh, no, it's been like that for 10 years. It's been good. It's all right. Are you kidding me, Todd Perry? This is dangerous. This is a hazard to everybody's health. This is wrong. Now, you have two options. Like, Todd's like probably having a mental crisis right now, freaking out. Like, the last 10 years, I've been doing my job wrong. And now you could do two things, right? Mr. Todd, you could kind of be like, we'll sweep that one under the rug. Don't tell anybody. What? Okay, just give me that report. Thank you, sir. And you'd tear it up, right? Don't tell anybody. Just keep it a secret. And I wonder how many kings, people in charge probably have done that. In fact, I've been reading through the Bible and Jeremiah is kind of the contemporary to King Josiah during this time. It was a little bit later in Josiah's life, but then especially in his sons who did evil. So Jeremiah, remember, is prophesying during this time period when Israel's doing evil. So it's a little bit after Josiah and his kids. But if you read in Jeremiah 36, what Josiah's son did when they read the words of Jeremiah, it's amazing. The contrast between what Josiah did when he heard the word and what his sons did when they heard the word. Again, you're king. You can do whatever you want, right? You could have just tore up that book. What? That book ain't nothing. That's not true. But Josiah instead did what? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And that's why when we read in 2 Kings 22:19 that God said, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard the word, what I spoke against, and you tore your clothes. The Lord saw Josiah's tender and humble heart. Again, when Josiah heard the word, he was immediately grieved. What does this show us about his character? Obviously, he was humble. And that's pretty amazing when you think of a king, especially one that was made king at 8 years old. You think it'd be really struggling with pride at that point in your life. What's the application for us? We need to have a tender, humble, teachable heart as well. When you read the Word of God, it should challenge us. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's for rebuke and correction. It should correct our thinking. In fact, when for some of us that didn't grow up in a Christian home, when we've seen some of the truth that God wants us to walk in, there's a difference the way God wants us to live. And you have two options. Again, you can kind of sweep that under the rug and say, you know, I don't think God really cares. Or you can have a tender, humble heart and really see sin for what it is as evil. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But Josiah didn't just read the word himself and keep it to himself. Look at 2 Kings chapter 23 with me. 2 Kings 23. Now the king sent them together, all the elders of Judea and Jerusalem, to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judea and with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he did what? He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. So not only did Josiah read it for himself, but after hearing the word, Josiah read it to others as well. What a leader. Josiah wanted everyone to know what God's standard said and what God's standard of right and wrong really was. As a good leader, Josiah wanted to influence the people around him to turn to the Lord as well. So the question I can ask you all here is, do you care enough about your friends to influence them with God's word? This means if you have unsaved friends, sharing the gospel with them. Or if you have saved friends, that means doing what is right in God's eyes and going against anything you to be wrong in God's eyes. Again, taking a stand for God's word and seeking to be an influence. Again, you might not be president or king, but you still have influence to those around you, especially those within your own family. What kind of influence are you seeking to be? But not only did Josiah hear the word and then read it to others, but he also made a decision. Look at verse 3, 2 Kings 23, 3. Then the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant were written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant as well. So after hearing the word and telling others, Josiah made the decision to follow the Lord. And if you read the account of Josiah in 2 Chronicles, we won't take the time tonight, you'll see also that that's when Josiah began to seek the Lord. It says that he always did what was right. Obviously, in his life, even from a young boy, he was operating by conscience and maybe by some of the oral traditions passed on to him. But finally, when they found the book of the law, it says that he sought the Lord. So he made a decision here to follow the Lord in his life. And again, of course, the application for us is we should seek to follow the Lord. You know, God's got a plan for our lives. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you see that God's will for your life is good and perfect and acceptable, and that you seek to follow it? Jesus also said in John 10 that I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, right? Jesus, the way of following Jesus is the way of an abundant life. And that's what Josiah sought to do. He sought to follow the Lord in his ways, even if it meant acting countercultural to his day and seeking to be an influence to those around him. In fact, we won't take the time here tonight, but you could read 2 Kings 23, and then it's also in 2 Chronicles 34, all the things that Josiah did. In fact, I thought about crafting a resume for him. When you think of a resume, it talks about where you've been. So Josiah was king at 8 years old, all right, all the way up till he died when he was 39. So he reigned 31 years. But then what did he do? And 2 Kings 23 lists all the things that Josiah sought to do. Rid Israel of all the evil that they had done. And he's tearing down altars and getting rid of all the corrupt people and the priests and just really cleansing, reinstituting the Passover. Just all of these things that really Josiah did. And that's why, like I said, some commentators say he was the greatest of all the kings, because no other king had such a complete reform in their reign as King Josiah did. But again, the application for us is that, again, if we seek to follow the Lord, maybe the Lord could use us in our sphere of influence, again, for such a time as this. The last point we want to see from Josiah's life here tonight is that, again, Josiah was not just a hearer of the word, but also a doer. Again, in these verses, chapter 23, 3 through 14, we can read all about these things that he did. He didn't just understand the difference between right and wrong, but Josiah sought to do it and then to influence others as well. I like how it said that when he made a covenant, everybody else did as well. And he got other people on board with him. And I think what a great testimony to those around him. He was a true leader and really transformed Israel. Unfortunately, it was only temporary, as again, none of Josiah's children even were godly kings, and the society quickly went downhill after him, and that's when the Babylonian captivity happened. But again, God delayed his judgment because of Josiah's godly life. Again, if you look at 2 Kings 22, the Lord said, 2 Kings 22, verse 20, "Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered together, shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. So that was a prophecy that because of Josiah's godly influence on the culture and his standing for what was true, God delayed the judgment in Israel, and he wouldn't see it. It would be about four generations later that this would now finally come to pass where they would be captured by the Babylonians. But again, what a godly influence that Josiah had, and all because I think when you think of the summary kind of Josiah's life. And again, it's pretty amazing that he was only 8 years old when he became king and he did what was right. But I think the key that really impressed me with who he is this idea of having a tender and humble heart. And if Josiah is a king with all the power in the world at that time would have that type of grief at seeing what was right in the sight of the Lord, you know, who are we to think that God won't, can't use us in our lives, and that we need to have a humble and a teachable heart as well. Again, God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. We need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. According to James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So again, I trust that you've seen something new tonight about the life of Josiah, something that again, we can be impressed upon as a great godly example to us. Obviously, the Bible records both the godly individuals in life and then the ones that we can learn from in their failures as well. And again, I think as we continue to seek the Lord, walk by faith day by day, we can live godly in an ungodly world just like King Josiah did. Let's have a word of prayer here tonight. Our dear, gracious Heavenly Father, God, we want to again thank you. We have an opportunity, God, to open your word and to even, again, look into the life of King Josiah here tonight. We thank you again, God, that you've recorded these things for our learning, for our admonition, God, that, again, that we could see and be transformed ourselves, that we could see an opportunity, God, as we seek to follow you day by day, and that we'd walk humbly before you, God, and that we'd be sensitive to your word and to your leading in our lives, that we'd seek to be godly influences, even in an ungodly culture, God. We know that society does seem to be getting worse, but yet you can use us. You can use us to be a light in a dark place, God, and who knows who around us may be listening, those that need to be saved, those that perhaps just need to turn back to following the Lord as well. We thank you again for this evening. We just commit it all to you now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I did promise